This week's sponsor is Military True Crime Addict. When I'm not reading the next book that often leaves Ty absolutely creeped out, I really enjoy listening to true crime podcasts, which leads me to this week's sponsor. If you're searching for a podcast about crime relating to actual life events of military personnel, veterans, family members, and those associated with the military in any way, this is the podcast for you. Some of the stories told are often those that are never reported by large media outlets, and when you listen, you will be astounded by these stories that should have been told long ago. Many of these stories are also an abundant amount of serial killers with military background that you will have to hear to believe. With the voice of the victims, they aim to raise awareness of these heinous crimes and those most impacted. You can find Military True Crime wherever you find podcasts, and follow them on Facebook at Military True Crime Addict, as well as their website, militarytruecrimeaddict.com. Now, on to the show.
Our savior is here. So, we're calling a solid mulligan on that one. So, everybody, welcome to the official 53rd episode of Page Turners and Button Mashers. Hello, and welcome. Like I said, to the fifth, this is already a train wreck.
You're doing great. I have all the faith.
Thanks. So, as you can hear, it's not Nikki. If you've been following our social media and the train wreck that was yesterday's episode, which is gone now. It's officially gone. I'm happy about that. I'm just calling it what it is.
I mean, no comment.
So, I have brought on, with just the gracious and wonderful suggestion from Rebecca, it's Rebecca.
The last episode, you guys said my name like 80 times. I'm pretty certain you summoned me.
Oh, shit. We did.
Yes, I am a demon, and you have summoned me. So now I am here. You're welcome.
You're welcome.
Yeah, just, you're welcome. It's fine.
All right, well, with that, if you would like to plug your podcast a little bit.
Sure. I mean, you guys did it plenty in your last episode. So, my podcast is called Thrice Cursed. It is a true crime and paranormal podcast where I give you a little bit of personality with your true crime and a little bit of scare with some flair. You can find me at Thrice Cursed Pod anywhere you listen to podcasts, or at Thrice Cursed Pod across social media.
Awesome.
Super simple. Hell, I know, yeah, what my podcast is about.
Oh, shit. Well, we appreciate that here.
Yeah. I appreciate it too. I took a long time to come up with my tagline. 5 minutes.
Yeah, 5 minutes. I think
that's how long it took me to come up with my tagline.
Really?
5 minutes.
Bravo.
Yeah.
It took.
Thank you.
It took us, like, I want to say, 2 solid weeks to be, what the fuck are we talking about on our podcast? But then
but yours is like a niche. Plus, you didn't start on a different podcast. So it is completely acceptable that it took you guys time. Plus, there's 2 of you.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So you had to find consensus. Whereas me, I'm like, oh, well, it's just me. I can do whatever the fuck I want.
Hell yeah. Hell yeah.
Yes.
I'm not sure if you know this. I'm not sure if anybody knows this, but the podcast was originally supposed to be a D&D podcast.
Oh, no way.
Yeah. It was going to be called Dungeons and Snacks.
Oh, I could go for a good snack.
Right? They were going to be inspired snacks while we play Dungeons and Dragons, but...
Oh, that's fun. But then you'd also pick up the snacking on recording?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Which would be a problem for a lot of people.
Yeah, myself included. I would have had to edit that and been like,
oh, God, I have to edit I have a problem with mouth sounds, mm-hmm. and sometimes I'm really dehydrated when I record because I'm the worst at drinking water. So I have to edit those out. Like, I'm very OCD about it. It's very bad. But anyways,
yeah,
this is your show. So
what are we talking about? Well, let's see. We might as well go into game news right away, right?
All right. Or wait, you needed to take a break, right?
I was gonna do a quick I'm a wreck right now. I woke up early. I'm okay. Tired.
We love a good wreck.
Yeah, it's great. We're not editing any of this.
I love it.
Yeah, we're just
chaos.
Pure chaos, but controlled chaos this time.
Is it?
It's more directed, at least.
Okay. I mean, I'm just picturing chaos from Billy and Mandy.
Throwback. Hashtag throwback.
Oh, God. Okay, I'm awful. Anyways.
So, I am going to semi-formally apologize, I guess. I understand that trying something new doesn't always work. I thought the interview style was going to work. Then I lost complete control of the podcast. So, I apologize about that, which is why we're getting to our regularly scheduled program of what we do here, except minus the book this week. So it's whatever.
Sorry, I didn't have time to read a whole book in a day, you guys. Plus, I could never beat Nick's just amazing way of storytelling.
I don't fucking know how she does it. It's insane.
I don't either. I storytell true crime, but it's pretty easy to pick the important facts of true crime, whereas with a book I'm like
everything is important.
Yeah, I haven't done a book report since like elementary school.
Oh shit. Okay.
Oh wait, no, that's not true. I guess I did a couple in high school.
I got a minor in English, so like that's all that my last year of college was.
Well, I dropped out of college, so.
And that's all right.
My parents are so proud.
My parents like were like, "Hey, go to college," and I'm like, "I don't want to," and they're like, "Fucking go," and I'm like, "Well, shit, now I'm in debt," so that's where we are.
Yay, debt.
Yeah. Woo. I got a $38,000 piece of paper hanging in the living room. It's fine.
Aw, it's a beautiful piece of paper. It's your favorite piece of paper.
Yeah. It's the most expensive thing I own, so.
Aw.
Yeah, living the high life here.
Yeah, it's... You really paid well for that piece of paper.
No.
All right, game news.
Game news.
What are you telling me?
So we're like less than a month away from the release of Resident Evil 8, which I'm hyped about, because giant vampire ladies.
Those games scare me.
They scare the fuck out of me. I played through the seventh one. It scared the fuck out of me, but so much that it was such a good game that I had to buy or pre-order the eighth one.
I mean, that is fair. I am just a giant baby when it comes to video games. Like, playing Left 4 Dead 2, I have to have music. Like, I have to have a zombie-killing soundtrack. Ooh. So that I don't hear the witch crying.
Oh.
Or I will have a panic attack.
I feel... That's what the witch is supposed to do, though. Like, you hear the witch and it's just like, oh, fuck.
I know, but I'm a baby about it.
Same. We're in the same boat. Team Scaredy Cat. All right,
this is good. Yeah, cats. I have three of them. I love cats. This is perfect.
Hell yeah. We're making a shirt.
All right. I will own it and wear it on my body.
Help.
That's what you do with shirts, right?
Yeah, sure. Well,
is it yeah shirt or yeah shirt?
Yeah, comma shirts. You but wear them. Son of a bitch.
Oh god, I'm dumb. Okay.
How about we get into the game for this week?
I mean, that's probably a good idea before I make all of your listeners stop listening.
I'm having a great time. So,
me too.
Yeah, sweet. So this is a game I tried to talk about recently, but that didn't go over well. So
nah, it did great. You did well.
Yeah, about 20 minutes. So the game this week is Sea of Thieves, which it's pretty up there in games for me. The release date was April 20th, 2017. So not really that old, still relevant, but kind of surprisingly old for how the game looks, you know?
Okay, but question, do you think they planned to release it on 420, or was that just a happy accident?
I really hope that they planned it, but I have a feeling it was an accident. 420, I mean, we're being pirates.
That's fair. That's fair. Yeah.
Okay. All right.
I don't know. I have nothing else to comment. It was just, it made me giggle.
I'm glad. The game I'm talking about in the next episode, I believe, also came out on April 20th. So.
So. Yes, lots of stoners in the development. They were like, they were super high and were just like, you know, it would be a great idea. Let's release this on 420.
Oh, dude, that's a great idea.
Dude, it's going to be bitchin'.
Bitchin'. We're having fun here.
yes we are.
All right, so the genre for the game is action adventure. Very straightforward. There's action and adventure.
Nah. They call it action adventure, but they left out one. It's just action, but you don't go anywhere. You're literally standing still.
Everything's just exploding around you.
Yeah, you're just standing still. Everything's exploding around you, and you just have to fight shit.
Oh my god, that sounds like a terrible game.
It really does, but now I want somebody to make it.
Yeah, it's Five Nights at Freddy's, but you can only fight things.
Yes.
There we go. All right.
That's not actually what the game is about. I haven't played it, but like, I can guarantee you. It's not, guys, I promise.
All right. So the developer is Rare. They've made, that's not like their, how, you know, unique they are. That's the company name. It's Rare.
That's where my head went. I was like, why are they Rare?
They're unique? Ooh, what's about it?
Are they? What's so rare about them?
Yeah, why aren't they cooked decently?
Tyler, we're on the same page, because that was the next thing my head went.
Yes.
Oh, so what have we done?
A lot. Very, but not a lot at the same time. So, Rare, they've made a lot of games, but Banjo-Kazooie is a major series by them, which was...
Okay, so like a new Banjo-Kazooie or like the original Banjo-Kazooie?
The originals.
Okay, I was about to lose my mind if they made a new one, but...
There's a newer one. It's on the, like, Xbox 360. It's Banjo-Kazooie Nuts and Bolts.
I did not know that.
Yeah, that one. I'll report on it eventually. It's a weird one when you think about Banjo-Kazooie. So
I'm just apologizing to my wallet right now in advance.
Honestly, if you have the newer Xbox, it's backwards compatible. So
it's gonna fight you.
So yeah, you can probably buy the game for like $5. It's not that expensive. Yeah.
All Love right. It. Yeah.
So the publisher is Xbox Game Studios. So this is just one of their games. I want to know how they pitched the game, Sea of Thieves, because it's like, you're a pirate, right? And Xbox is like, yeah, sure, go for it. So the systems are Windows, Xbox One, and the new Xbox Series XS. So strictly on the Microsoft systems, which is cool.
I mean, a little bit rude, but okay.
It is a little bit rude, but, you know, fucking PlayStation has God of War and Spider-Man, so I think they kind of win. That's...
yeah, I just, I hate that they don't do what they used to, which is they, like, would release games across all platforms, and now it's like, no, if you have PlayStation 4, you just... shit out of luck.
Yeah, you miss out on Halo and all the Fable and all those games, Gears of War.
Yeah, unfortunately. I have a PlayStation 4.
It's a great system.
It is. I didn't buy it. Luke gifted it to me, and I was like, oh, this is fancy. I've had a PlayStation 2 forever.
Oh, that's also a great system, but...
It is. I also have Xbox 360, though, which is funny because I don't do a lot of playing games. So.
And I have a lot of systems. A lot.
Well, that makes sense for you.
True. That's a good point.
Yeah. The fact that I have three is like, wait, who is this person? How, why does she have so many games? She never plays any of them.
I have a lot of games for how, like, I stick... That's, like, what I like about this podcast, because it allows me to branch away from my usual games, which is great.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, usually I only play, like...
That is good.
Oh. Cutting over each other.
That's fine. I'll stop talking.
I was just gonna say I only play, like, 4 or 5 games usually.
Yeah, I'm there. Like, my go-tos are pretty much The Sims, Diablo... I guess that's it.
Right.
I
on.
Guess I rotate between two.
Fair enough. Great game.
No, Skyrim. Choices. Okay, Skyrim.
Another great game.
All right. Anyways, back to pirates.
Yeah. Arr. This podcast is rated R. I want to cut that out, but I'm not going to.
You're not going to. I wouldn't even let you. I would tell Nikki to put you in.
Don't let him delete it.
Not only is it rated R, but it's also rated C.
Oh, there it is.
Oh, boy.
All right. So this game has won the BAFTA Games Award for Best Evolving Game in 2021. So it's still winning awards. It's only won one, but, you know, whatever.
Hey, I've never won an award. This game is already winning at life more than I am. It's fine.
This podcast has won an award. Holy shit.
Look at you.
We won for, like, it was an indie podcast award for best gaming podcast.
I know, I saw that. I was so happy.
I couldn't believe it. She's like, we won. And I was like, we fought, what? Huh?
We were in a competition? What?
Yeah, huh? What? So, moving on, so we don't get off track again.
Off track is the best place to be.
True.
And hey, pirate ships don't have tracks.
Shit,
unless
you're
right. Disneyland. Fuck,
you right. So, what is this game? It's pretty simple definition of this game is it's a pirate game. You're literally a pirate. That's, you know, the base of it. But there is a wiki definition for it, which will be in the show notes, because plagiarism is bad. It's bad. So, the wiki definition, Sea of Thieves is a first-person multiplayer video game in which players cooperate with each other to explore an open world via a pirate ship. That's the game.
All right. I feel like my boyfriend would be very into it.
Fair enough. It's a fun game. Like,
I mean, it sounds like it. My dream as a kid was actually to be a pirate, so sounds up my alley as well.
Fair enough. Side note about this game before I really dive water.
Before all your listeners are like, I'm just turning this shit off. This is not going anywhere good.
But I'm about to talk about the game is that so they can get over it. I'm kidding. I love you guys. Please listen. My brother, while trying to play this game, actually got motion sick, and I don't know how, but he did.
Oh, I get motion sick playing games sometimes, so that's actually good to know.
Yeah, so if you get motion sick, if you're, like, steering the ship, it is better, but if you're just, like, standing on the ship while it's going, you do go up and down on waves, so I guess that would, if you're just staring directly at the screen, nothing else, yeah, it's gonna get you a little...
That is very good to know. Okay.
Yeah. Useful tips from Ty. Here we go. All right. So, if you're going to be a pirate, you're going to need a ship. Well, lucky for you, there are three types of ships in this game. The first is the sloop, which I love the name of it. Yeah.
I'm just picturing the cafeteria line at high school. What are we having today? Sloop.
Sloop. Now I can never use this ship again because that's all I'm going to think about.
You're welcome. So, ruining things since the day I was born.
Hell yeah. So this sloop. Oh, go on.
It's okay. I'm just doing like a commercial in my head where my finger's on my dimple and you can just see the flash of light on my teeth.
Ching. Yep. Perfect.
All right. Anyways.
Yeah. Anyway.
The sloop.
The sloop is a super small ship with two cannons, one mast, and a small storage room below deck. The crew total here is two, so it's you and one other person. You can just sail by yourself, but it's one to two people on this.
Okay.
Yeah. Up next is the brigantine, brigantine? Don't know if that's the correct pronunciation of it.
My mind wants to say it's brigantine, but I'm probably very wrong.
Honestly,
as I am about most things.
You're probably right, actually.
I didn't. I don't know.
You know what? It sounds right, so I'm my stamp of approval on brigantine.
Yeah, I can't even. I've been approved.
Hell yeah. So, the brigantine is meant for upwards of three players. So, you can go solo, but I highly recommend conquering the sloop first, because this one gets a little more difficult. It has... The sloop. So, this one has four cannons and two masts and a larger storage room. So, you're just upgrading in size, really. I knew that was going to happen. I knew it. Damn it.
First one, you're like, it has two cannons. Or no, it has one.
Two.
Like two cannons and
yep.
Something. I don't know.
One mask, yep.
Yep, one mask. There we go. Two cannons, so the cannons are the balls. One mast. And then the storage room below deck, and now we're growing in size.
Oh, no. Well, that's it for this week. Hope you guys enjoy. I'm kidding. Oh, no.
If not for the gutter, my mind would be homeless, so I apologize.
It's got Wi-Fi. I don't know why you would leave.
Does the gutter have Wi-Fi?
Because mine does.
If it does, I will just relocate right now.
Mine does. It has a big screen. I don't know. Like, it's a great place.
I mean, that's... You fancy.
We fancy up in here. I'm doing, like, head movements and shit, but, like, the podcast can't see that.
I can see it, and that is all that matters. And you can't see me, so it's like I'm getting a one-way movie right now.
All right.
Gosh. Okay, so we're on the next one. Which
yes, the last one. The last one is the Galleon. This huge ship supports up to four players and has eight cannons, three masts, and two lower levels, and a captain's quarters with a balcony.
Oh, how fancy.
It's so fancy, yes. It's, yeah. So instead of the map for the ship being in where, like, slightly lower than the main deck, it's in the captain's quarters. The map is on the first of the lower levels, and then you got the storage room below that. So this one's super fancy, looks nice. Cosmetics look the best on this ship. So, yeah.
So you could say that any pirate who has this ship would be living large. Just a disappointment.
Oh, I see why you are best friends with Nikki now.
Yeah, because we're very similar.
Oh, wow. All right. So, moving on from that god-tier joke.
Yeah, sure, that's what we'll call it.
I'm calling it that. I don't even care.
Okay.
So, there are a few things to note when sailing, and these are rather important. I was taught to them by a friend who is no longer with us, unfortunately. She taught me all about this game. So, she lives on through my ability to teach people this game, and these are things that you won't know when you first play the game, so they are super important. So, you can increase and decrease the length of the sail, to allow more or less wind to come in contact with it. And this will help you determine the sea. I'm just powering through.
I'm so sorry.
Don't apologize. You're fine.
Oh, God. Nobody's going to listen to my podcast now because they're just like, this girl.
She talks about true crime. Are you sure?
She sounds a little immature to talk about true crime. I don't know.
Oh, God. All right.
I had an energy drink. It's the sugar in the caffeine. Ah,
gotcha. Yeah. All right. So, this will help with speed. I'm just powering through. This just helps with speed, but also you can adjust the angle of the sails, which in doing this, you will see these like wind streaks in the air telling you the direction of the wind. So angle your sails in that direction or as close or best as you can get to that.
So it's kind of like the lock picking in Skyrim. You have to be very specific.
Yes, you will. As long as your sails are down and your anchor is up, you will go forward. The speed is just determined on if your sails are all the way down and what way they're facing.
Wow, it sounds pretty in-depth, actually.
Yeah, it was surprising for me. I even found that if your sails are completely up and you just turn the wheel, you'll just start spinning. You won't move. You'll just spin in a circle. It's So if you're stuck...
That would probably be what I'd do.
Yeah, I did that a lot, but that does come in handy when you're in like a little cove, I want to say, and you can't really turn the best and you don't want to hit land. You just bring up the anchor and you turn around. It works perfectly.
I feel like the ship that got stuck in the harbor recently really needed that feature.
Oh, shit. You're not wrong.
Woo. Look at me bringing you current events.
during a pirate game.
Yes.
Hell yeah. All right. So if you are going to sail the seas, which you will in this game, obviously, you're going to encounter ghost pirates, sea monsters, and even hostile players. Hostile players?
Hostile.
So you got to use cannons. There are different types of cannonballs, some magical and some like are... The best example is there's like normal ones, just normal cannonballs. You hit the hull of the enemy ship, fill it with holes. Then there's the chain shot, which is like two half cannonballs connected by a chain and it spins. And you want to take out the mast with that because it'll wrap around the mast and break it. Okay. And then there's magical ones that when you hit it, it can like make it so the cannons can't fire. The sails go up, the anchor goes down, or like everybody starts dancing or is drunk. Like there's a vast variety of cannonballs in this game.
That's fun, but I might agree with your mulligan and say there aren't enough ships for me because I feel like I need the Flying Dutchman.
They do have the equivalent of the Flying Dutchman in the game. like,
do they?
Yeah, he's a ghost pirate, and I'll get into these clouds later on. Clouds are very important.
Okay, but wait a minute. Does he wear a little sock on on his ghost tail?
Honestly, I've never seen him in game. I just know he's in there, so maybe. I'm gonna say yeah, for sure. He definitely does.
All right, sold. Sold. It has my seal of approval.
Hell yeah.
Seal. Seal.
So, oh, it goes. The plot thickens.
Boy.
Oh. So, let's see. So, make sure you prepare your cannons and inventory to what you plan to do. If you plan to fight other players, get cannonballs that hinder and damage the other ship. Pretty self-explanatory. Up next is the factions, I'm gonna call them that, quote-unquote factions.
Factions?
Yeah, there are these groups in the game that you work for and gain experience in each of them separately in order to gain status as a pirate legend. That's the whole, like, what you're trying to do is become the best pirate, so these help you in that.
Can I become Captain Jack Sparrow?
Probably. You can, there's a lot you can do in the game, so I don't see why not.
I enjoy this.
Hell yeah. So, let's see. Oh god, where was, oh there. I lost my place for a second.
sorry, I'm just distracting.
it wouldn't be an episode if I didn't get distracted or lose my place.
This is true.
Yeah. So, these factions are called trading companies. But I just call them factions because that's what they are. So you've got the gold hoarders, and every one of their quest voyage things are all about going to different islands and digging up buried treasure. Doing pirate shit. You know?
Yeah, treasure.
Treasure.
Are they using a map from a game?
Maybe. I don't know.
I mean, considering we're talking about a game.
Yes. Then yes, they are. Yes. let's see. Next is the Order of Souls, which sounds super awesome. The person that gives you the voyages is usually a cool voodoo lady.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Calypso.
Yeah. Pretty much. And these ones are all about hunting skeletons. Like, you go and find specific skeletons on islands, and you get their skulls and bring them back to her, and you get gold and experience in that, in the Order of Souls. So,
okay, see, so that one would probably be the way that I would play, because it's just spooky enough for me to really get into it.
Hell yeah. And I will say, when you go to the island, you won't see the skeleton immediately. There's, as soon as you set foot on the island, it gets sort of close to where they are. Skeletons will pop out of the ground. You gotta kill them, and then eventually the one that you're hunting will pop up. So,
ooh.
Yeah. But
so now it feels a little bit like Haunted Mansion.
Yeah.
The new movie.
Yeah. Yeah. Pretty much. let's see. Up next is the Merchant Alliance. And that's all about transporting goods between outposts. You take crates of, like, silk, fruit, sometimes chickens in cages, to different islands.
Okay.
Like, that's what you're doing. And then...
Do the chickens ever get loose, so as a pirate you have to chase them?
Usually you get the cage, and then you have to go to an island and chase a chicken around and put him in the cage.
Okay, so yeah. Basically.
Yeah, you do. Ah! Like, it's a struggle. Up next is the Reaper's Bones Company, which this one is really weird with how they do things. So usually on the map, you will see in the distance some swirly, colorful clouds. That is marking the location of a unique chest that can only be given to these guys. For golden experience. But okay. As soon as you pick up that chest, everybody, if they look on their own map, they will see your ship and know where you're going. So
that's not great.
Yeah, it becomes a very quick PvP just against, like, every ship is like, I want that now.
Oh, that's fun.
Yeah. So there are, besides these main four, those are the main four. Besides them, there's a few others, but I consider them less important because they are more focused on PvP or, like, time-limited events. So I'm just like, nah, forget them. Eventually, I'll have to, like, talk about them, but, or, you know, interact with them in-game, but that'll come eventually.
Yeah, but at least people who are listening to you now know it's an option.
Exactly, yeah. One's called, like, the Bilge Rats, and I just love that name.
Oh, I love it.
Yeah. All right, so, besides all of this, there is a customization aspect to the game, which is surprisingly in-depth.
Yes.
So
customization is my favorite.
Same. So, unfortunately, you can't, like, customize the, like, how your person looks. You get to, like, when you start the game, just select your character, and you can keep reloading them until you find a character that you like, which
okay
takes a while, but you'll get there eventually. And
it's all part of the adventure. So the action, yeah, you're going to stay in one place, but the adventure, that's where they throw it in. It's just trying to get the right character.
There it is. We found it.
We figured it out.
We nailed it. So, you can change your hair if you have a facial hair, your outfit, like, entire, and there is, like, so many options for each, and sometimes there's themed outfits. Like, I think mine has to, it's called the Ocean Crawler set, and it just looks like bits of, like, colorful crab. Like, that's the design of it.
Ooh.
Yeah, so the hook that you can get for your hand is a crab claw. So, yeah, it's...
That sounds really cool.
Yeah, it's my favorite. And, let's see. You can also change the look of your weapons, instruments, everything that you have, including your ship. You can change the cosmetics of your ship.
Ooh, does it have one of those things where you can add, like, a mermaid onto the front of it?
Yes, and there's a mermaid in the game.
Dream.
To put on there. So,
yes.
It's got that, and I'm so happy about it.
That's my dream pirate ship right there, so.
Oh, yeah.
Definitely buying this game, I guess, for my computer.
Hell yeah, do it. I recommend it. Just since doing all cosmetic things for your pirate, which is what I do, so
yep,
it
that's
works.
Basically, like 80 hours of the 90 I might play would be just customizing things.
That's fair. That's totally fair. When I go into the game, I'm like, what outfit do I want to go for? That one? That's what I'm going for.
Daily outfits are legit.
Yeah, true that. So, there is this unique ship option, or, like, customization option that I own. It came from a limited time event where Gears of War and Sea of Thieves was being added to the Xbox Game Pass. They both were. So, since they're both Microsoft Game Studio games, they had a thing where if you played both of them, like, before a certain time, you would get cosmetics for Sea of Thieves. So,
oh, cool.
Yeah, so I have this thing, and I don't see anybody else do this stuff with their ship. I don't know how many people have it, but it's, like, the coolest set. So you get the hull of your ship to be, like, Gears of War color scheme. You get the Lancer chainsaw, which, if you listen to that episode, that's, like, the chainsaw that's attached to the assault rifle. You get that
okay
where you would put the mermaid. So it's just chilling there. And then the sail has the little more cartoony version to fit the theme, style of Sea of Thieves, but it is the gear and skull from Gears of War. So it's a really cool thing that I own, and it's a humble brag, but I'm like, I love it so much.
Well, I mean, this podcast is about the things that you love, so humble brag away.
Hell yeah. Time for my next humble brag. You can get pets in the game.
Ooh, pets. That's I've been playing WoW a little bit, and that's my favorite part of the game, so.
Fair enough. I understand that. So, from what I understand, you do have to spend, like, actual money to get these things, to get the pets, but it's not that much, so you're not breaking the bank if you want to get a pet. And you can get little outfits for them, which I geek out about all the time. So, you get a choice between monkeys, parrots, dogs, and cats. So you get, like, you can choose one of those.
That's awesome. Can you get more than one?
You can, but they can't be activated at the same time.
Okay, that makes sense. I just want to be that person who walks around with a parrot on their shoulder while a cat follows behind them.
Oh, hell yeah. Oh, hell yeah.
Wait, is a snake an option?
No, it's not.
That,
unfortunately.
That was a missed opportunity.
Yeah, there are snakes on the island, so they definitely have the assets to give you a snake, but missed opportunity.
Okay, well, since the developers of the game are obviously listening to this episode, because why wouldn't they be? Give us a snake. Yeah. I need to have a character that dresses in like a, I don't even know the word to use anymore because I don't want to offend anybody, but like one of those skirts with like the little bangles on it that make noise.
Okay.
A corset. And then with a giant cobra on her shoulders.
Hell yeah. I want this.
That was also my dream as a child. I wanted to wear outfits like this and walk around with a giant boa constrictor on my neck at all times.
Hell yeah. That's, I want to do that now.
yes, that is
the dream. So I do have one of the pets. I do have a capuchin monkey.
Ooh, capuchin.
Capuchin. And he wears he's got a little pirate hat and a vest.
How cute.
Yeah. I am going to get a cat eventually in the game because I keep seeing him and I'm like, I want that. That's what I want. So that's my goal.
It is a good goal to have. Cats are the best, says the resident cat lady.
Fair enough. So moving on from pets is, I did mention earlier, clouds. Now you might be thinking, clouds, that doesn't sound important. In this game, they are.
Ooh.
Yeah, so as you're looking at the sky, you will see a multitude of clouds that some are just normal generic clouds. There's one big one that's always on the map. It kind of looks like a mushroom cloud. That is the storm cloud. If you go in there, you won't be able to know which way you're going because your compass will constantly spin. You're going to have somebody having to dump out water. It's like a hurricane cloud, essentially.
Okay, but do you die from it or is it just like playing adventure on hard mode?
Adventure on hard mode. Like
that sounds, I feel like I would just, because I'm a glutton for punishment and anxiety, mm-hmm. I feel like I would just purposely go into it every single time. So it's like, I don't know where I'm going. Let's see. Do I want to go left or right today? Doesn't matter what I want. It's just what's going to happen.
Yeah. There was one time when I was like looking on the map that was below deck. I was like, where the fuck do I need to go? And then all of a sudden I heard like the crackle of thunder. I was like, uh-oh, I go on top of deck, and I'm in the, like, the storm is coming fast. And I'm like, I have to sail through this, and I'm alone. Here we go! I got through it, though, and I'm happy about that. I can happily say I'm...
You did it.
Yeah, I did it. Yay.
I'm so proud of you.
Thank you. there's also one that looks like a pirate ship. That one will cause some ghost pirates to spawn, so that's a guaranteed ship battle, which is always fun.
Yes.
Yeah.
Plus ghosts.
Yeah. Then there's...
Ooh, spooky.
Spooky ghosts. Then there's... I'm trying to think. I know there's two skeletons that pop up as clouds in the sky. One's just like a skull, a normal skull, and I think there's like green lightning in it. That is a skeleton fort, so if you go there, it's always above an island. If you go there, there's guaranteed like a high leveled boss skeleton that you have to kill, and then you do good with the Order of Souls, I think. And then
okay.
Yeah, and then the last one is the equivalent of the Flying Dutchman. It's his head, like, and it's a red glowing cloud that's just like hovering above the sea. And
you lied to me, sir.
What?
The Flying Dutchman glows green.
Well, in the cloud glows red. He might glow green, but the cloud does glow red.
His cloud glows green too.
Okay. Developers, change the color.
Yes, and then name it the Flying Dutchman because trademarks aren't a thing.
Yeah, duh. Duh.
Duh.
Oh my god. But the creepy thing about this skull is as you're sailing, it actually like rotates to follow you.
Ooh.
Yeah, so you'll just be sailing and you'll look over and it's just staring directly at you just constantly. It's terrifying.
Just hello, hi, I'm still here, don't forget about me.
Don't come this way or I'm gonna fuck you up. And it's like, okay, cool, I'm going this, bye. that is it for the clouds, but I also did mention that there are sea monsters in this game, which are super important.
Sea monsters?
Yeah, they are random events that'll just pop up, and you will know when they're happening. One is the...
I would hope so.
Yeah, things happen real fucking quick. So the first is the Megalodon, so big old shark. Music changes drastically, and you'll hear just like you will hear a heavy bass, and you'll look around constantly, and then you'll see the giant fin, and it's like, oh, there it is, and then it'll just come straight for your boat. It is terrifying.
This is good.
Yeah, I've outrun the Megalodon though, because I had the wind at my sails. They were angled in the correct direction, and I was like, fuck you, shark. And then the other sea monster is the Kraken.
Yes, yep. The Kraken.
Yeah, that's a time. That's fucking... I never enjoyed dealing with the Kraken. So the first time I dealt with the Kraken, I was playing the game with my friend that I told you about. We were just sailing the seven seas, and all of a sudden she goes, oh no. And I'm like, what's going on? She's like, the water turned black. And I'm like, what does that mean? It means the Kraken's here. All of a sudden, fucking eight tentacles shot up out of the ocean. One wrapped around our boat. The other one grabbed me. It was just a shit show.
Oh, that sounds like so much fun.
It is. You can kill the Kraken and the Megalodon. Like, that is things you can do. But you have to be, like, hunting them. You have to be prepared.
Oh, I want to hunt me some mythical creatures.
Same. I want to be able to kill the Kraken because I've never been able to do it. And anybody I've played with always is just like, shoot it. And I'm like, you have to... Yeah, sure.
You have to Jack Sparrow it. You have to be willing to die.
Yeah, also, you have to repair the boat.
Actually die.
Yeah, that does happen a lot. I forgot to mention what happens when you die in the game, because it's actually pretty fucking cool.
Ooh, tell me about death. I'm ready.
So when you lose all your health, you go down, and if you're with somebody, they can come up and revive you. But if either they're not near you or you are alone, you can offer your soul to the ferryman, which once you do that...
Okay, so we got a Davy Jones moment.
A little bit, yeah. So you do that, and you spawn on a pirate ship that's floating down the river Styx. Like, just full on, just, yeah. And it's, like, you hear the wailing of just, like, it's spooky, but in the best way. And you can actually go up and talk to the ferryman, which is so cool.
Now I just want to go play this game and just die on purpose.
That's fair. You get to meet the ferryman, which is cool. And after a while, the ship that would normally lead, or the door that leads to the captain's quarter, that'll open, and you'll see like a swirling portal. You enter that and you are respawned usually on your ship. Unless your ship got destroyed, then you will spawn on an island near a new ship of yours.
Okay.
So yeah, pretty cool shit in my opinion.
I mean, it sounds awesome.
Yeah. So That wraps up the game. So, overall, I enjoy this game. I will say it is way more fun with other people, so I highly suggest finding friends. I mean, I do have a lot of fun when I play on my own, but if you got some buddies that have it, definitely hop on with them. And okay. I've played it through multiple updates. Like, I've played it since 2017. I just keep coming back for major updates, and then now I'm just finding myself playing it when I can. And
all right, that... Yeah, adulting.
Yeah, adulting. So I'm going to give this one a solid 8 out of 10. That's where I'm going with it.
Well, I mean, I don't play a lot of video games, and you made me want to, so I sounds like an 8 out of 10 at least.
Yeah, the only problem is, like, there's no clear story. That's my main problem with it. So it's kind of like, oh, what do I do? And it's very hard to pick up, but once you do learn it, then you start having way more fun.
Okay, so it's more like an open world game as opposed to story driven.
Exactly. Yep, that's exactly it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, fun times.
Yeah, fun times indeed. So, we are going to go on a short break and we will be right back. And we're back. Sweet.
We are back. Team Scaredy Cats for the win.
Yes.
Oh, boy.
No. Didn't fit with that one.
That was something, I tell you what.
Oh, boy. Oh, boy.
That boy ain't right.
No, boy. That boy ain't right.
Yeah. Oh, gosh. Okay, so for this next bit, I guess I'm going to talk about a game, and I have done zero preparation, so sorry!
Don't apologize.
I mean, I have to, but Wikipedia is my best friend, so I'm using Wikipedia. You're welcome.
Fair enough.
So, I will be talking about Alice, Madness Returns, which is my favorite game ever. So it's a psychological horror action adventure. You do a lot of like platform jumping, and I guess according to Wikipedia, a genre is called hack and slash.
Oh yeah, yeah, fair enough.
I didn't know that was a thing.
You hack and you slash.
I mean, I guess that checks out. I am also just learning that apparently there was a prequel to this.
Is that American McGee's Alice?
Yes. Yes.
Yep. Nikki's playing that right now.
So I had no idea. Oh, good. I'm going to be as well. So I will be joining her in that.
Hell yeah.
So this game was released on June 14th, 2011 in North America, and then released everywhere else on different dates, which I'm not really going to go into because...
Fair enough.
It was developed by an independent studio called Spicy Horse and then released by EA.
Oh, Spicy Horse.
You're not legally supposed to eat horses, you guys. Why are they spicy? Why do you know that? I can just hear Tina Belcher. Oh, poor Tina.
Poor Tina.
So in the game, you are basically playing from a third person perspective, and you're going to play as the main character, Alice. So Alice is kind of going through, it's not post-traumatic, just post-traumatic, English, post-traumatic stress, but it's repressed memories. So she descends into madness, if you will, which is like a really dark version of Wonderland as she tries to process whatever it is that she is going through. Right. And so throughout the game, you're going to be doing a lot of running, jumping, dodging. You can shrink. I also really like there's this really cool effect where she just dissolves into butterflies.
Oh.
Yeah, as somebody who has like 4 butterfly tattoos, that really...
Oh, hell yeah.
that was really a thing for me. I'm also super big on just the aesthetics of this game. Like, while extremely demented and creepy, it's done really well and is honestly, like, in a weird macabre way, beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
So as you go through the game, she's going to get more and more weapons. It's not a lot, but some of them are a Vorpal Blade, which is like a really, it's like a big sword.
Ooh, all right.
Yes. Or I guess as the Wikipedia description says, a decorated kitchen knife, but it's pretty big to be a kitchen knife. I certainly don't have one of those in my kitchen.
Fair enough.
I wish I did, but I don't. Another thing that's really interesting is, so there's a pepper grinder, which is like a crank operated whatever the fuck a Gatling gun is.
Do you know mini guns, like those, like the huge guns that have the spinny, like best way sure. I can explain it. Yeah.
Okay, well, so you use this pepper gun essentially to attack pig snouts, and the more you like them, it's honestly, it's the most bizarre, weird game on the planet, but there's like a point to all of it. It's just, I don't know, it's fun. But so these pig snouts, there are actually clues. When you shrink and step inside of certain flowers, it will reveal clues so that you can find them. You will also hear a every once in a while. You're welcome for the snort.
Hell yeah.
There is also something called the Hobby Horse, which is used as a sledgehammer to inflict heavy damage and break barriers and defenses.
Ooh.
Yes. And then there's something called a Teapot Cannon, which I have completely forgotten about.
A Teapot Cannon?
It apparently fires tea. Yeah, I don't remember that at all. Also, depending on which level you're playing in the game, so you can play on easy or hard mode, you are going to encounter mm-hmm. different enemies and possibly get different weapons based on the level that you choose. Yeah, I have no rhyme or reason to the way in which I am describing this, so apologies. I'm just all
no worries.
So probably my favorite creepy aspect of this game is that you are running around collecting teeth.
Oh. Oh, no.
Yeah, you're kind of like a tooth fairy, I guess.
I hate that.
So these teeth will be found in... Are you one of those people that just can't handle the thought of just loose teeth?
Well, no, I'm okay with it, but it's like... For some reason, my mind immediately went, you pull them out. I know you probably don't, but like you just pull them out, and I hate the thought of forcefully pulling a tooth out.
You absolutely do not pull them out. You do beat okay. them out, though. So these teeth. Okay. So these teeth will either be just randomly in the world. Sometimes you get them from smashing things. Sometimes they're just around. Sometimes you have to jump to get them. Otherwise, a lot of times they will actually spawn when you beat the shit out of somebody or kill them, rather.
Okay.
It's just more fun to say beat the shit out of them.
Yeah.
Oh, that's a new thing I didn't know. Apparently you can regenerate health by going into giant purple flowers. So that's good, I guess. Oh. So as you go through each level, there are actually memories you can find. So there will be like a little glass bottle. So very much a drink me bottle.
Mm-hmm.
So and then all of a sudden you will hear her memory play across, I don't know, your audio.
Okay, fair enough.
My podcast is very scripted, so I feel like an absolute mess right now. So if you do die during gameplay, there's no, like, and there's nothing really special about it. The player just starts at the most recent checkpoint. You do dissolve into butterflies, though, which is one of those things that I mentioned and is really fun. Sorry, I'm just like, what am I talking about? I've already forgotten everything. Okay, so as you go through the game, you are going to find out that what Alice is running from with her trauma is there was a house fire. Ooh. That actually, like, burned down her entire house and her family. and she ends up being held at an insane asylum for treatment.
Mm.
So because she was unable to cope with this, this is why she descends into madness. You can hear a lot of blurbs where she starts talking to a psychiatrist, and he basically helps his patients forget their memories through hypnosis, which is the absolute worst way to handle trauma.
Yeah, just a
little bit. Which is probably why she goes into Wonderland.
Fair enough.
Yeah, so basically Wonderland is fully a hallucination. I would kind of compare this game a little bit to, God, what's that one movie? It flopped so badly. It had Emily Browning in it. Sucker Punch.
Mm, okay.
So it feels like that, but actually done well.
Oh, okay.
But without the really cool soundtrack.
Fair enough.
Yeah, so I will say that this game, while I love it, it can be really triggering for people who are having some of those repressed memory issues or are terrified of, like, baby dolls, because there are some really interesting villains in this.
Oh.
Yeah, so a lot of the villains, they'll either look like really creepy porcelain baby dolls.
Oh.
Yeah, there are robot teapots that will attack you. Oh. They have, like, the little spider legs.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, no, it's really, it's a lot of fun. So it's, like, it's steampunk meets, wow, I'm having trouble even speaking. It's steampunk meets horror. I don't know if you can tell, I'm, like, so anxious because I'm not prepared at all.
You're fine. You're doing a great job.
Thank you. Thank you. My version is not going to be as long. My portion's not going to be as long as yours, though.
Because that's I'm fine.
Almost done. So, yeah, throughout the game, again, she starts to finally remember everything. Then we also find out, and huge, huge, huge trigger warning, that there's also some rape memory she's repressing.
Mm.
So the doctor who is helping her, he's actually the one who set her house on fire to get rid of witnesses to him raping her.
Oh.
And then uses his position as a doctor, quote unquote, to help her forget so that she can't turn him in.
Wow.
Yeah. So at the end of the game, Alice actually defeats what's called a doll maker in Wonderland, which is like the big boss at the end, and mm-hmm. which in real life gives Alice apparently the strength to push her abuser, Dr. Bumby, into the path of an oncoming train, and he dies. And that is the end of the game.
Damn. Okay.
Yeah, like when I say it's dark, it's real dark, like not even just in the aesthetic, but like the overall theme.
Oh, yeah. Damn. All right.
Yeah. Fun fact. I actually, when I first started dating my boyfriend, I played this game nonstop for like 3 weeks while we were together. And the whole time he's just like, yeah, this is cool, but you're into some weird shit.
Get used to it.
Yeah. I mean, basically we've been together 5.5 years now, so I think at this point he's familiar, but he should have ran while he had the chance.
It's too late now.
Yes. Let's see, I'm trying to see if there's anything else. Apparently the guy, so American McGee, has stated that he'd envisioned the Alice series as a trilogy. I guess there's a sequel called Alice Otherlands.
Oh.
Don't quote me that.
Interesting.
Don't quote me on that. Let's see. In June 2012, McGee reiterated his intention to develop a third game titled Alice in Otherland. The game would be released episodically.
Oh, okay.
And stated that it would allow Alice to go into the minds of all these characters she encounters, and it opens up the possibility where you could play as Alice and you can enter into a player's mind, change the landscape, and then basically psychologically adjust the character in doing so. That sounds a little fucked up.
A little bit.
Yeah, so he said, imagine an MMO where the missions aren't locations, but they're people. Then he said that the game was unlikely to be produced soon due to a lack of interest from EA. So, fuck you, EA.
Fuck you, EA.
Not really, like, you make great games, but, like, missed opportunity.
I mean, they make okay games.
Yeah, I mean, I enjoy... Is that EA? Hold on. No, it is not EA. Okay. I was thinking of Sims, and then I'm like, wait, no, that's Origin. But I really did like, SSX Turkey.
Oh, yeah, that was one of their best games, back in the era when it was EA Big. That was one of their best games.
EA Big.
Yeah, hell yeah.
Yeah, no, that was my absolute favorite game. My sisters and I used to play it all the time, and now to even buy a copy of it is like $200 because they don't make them anymore, and I'm so mad about it.
Guess who has a copy of it?
Guess who's gonna steal it in June?
You fucking better not. I love that game.
Well, it's mine now. Just like over... Tyler's just secretly hiding it right now.
Yeah, just whoop, that's going there. You're never going to find that.
Oh, gosh. Yes. I am having a hard time finding if that game actually... Okay, yeah. So on October 30th, 2015, the digital assets for Alice Otherlands was released on various streaming platforms such as YouTube and Vimeo. So I guess you can watch it, but you can't play it.
Mm. I hate
which
it.
Which is... disappointing. Yeah,
very disappointing.
Yeah, me too. I was like, oh, I have a new game I'm gonna download, but I guess not. So on September 3rd, 2017, American McGee announced on his blog that he is working on a license proposal for the third installment.
Ooh.
And then he sent the entire proposal to EA in July of 2018. So he has a mailing list that I guess he's telling people to sign up for through Patreon. So I guess you can do that. If you are interested, I might as well.
Fair enough.
Yeah. But that is it. So hopefully there will be a third one, and then Nikki and I can talk nonstop about it. Because
hell yeah. That'll just be an episode in and of itself.
Ooh, we could stream it.
Oh, shit. You could.
I love how I've basically just accidentally made myself a part of your podcast.
No, it's fine. It's fine. You are welcome.
Thanks.
You're welcome. All right. Well,
all right. Well, Tyler, do you have anything else you wanted to add?
I swear to God.
Oh, let's see. Let's see. Shrek's a good game.
Oh god, that hurt my throat so bad.
Ooh, yeah, I think we're gonna wrap it up there.
That sounds like a good idea.
All right, well, let's see, thank you again for coming on and saving us.
I'm happy to be your savior.
It is greatly appreciated. If you would like to plug your podcast again, please do.
Sure. Again, if you're interested in true crime and all things spooky, you can head to my website, thricecursedpod.com. You will find all of the links to where you can listen or find me on Instagram and things like that there. So thricecursedpod.com.
Hell yeah. And we will also include most of the links in our show notes. So if you don't want to go searching, you can just find them in the show notes. So
yay.
And you can find all of our stuff in our link tree, which will be in the show notes as well. So again, less searching. You know where to find us. Hopefully, if not, show notes, boom, it'll get you everywhere. And with that, keep on turning those pages.
And keep on mashing those buttons.
Hell yeah.
Yeah, I said it right. Woo! High five to me.